Transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. In the Lord's house, in the flesh and in person.
Actually, I shouldn't say in the flesh. I mean physically. And welcome to everybody who is Zooming it up today. God bless you as well. Now, not a lot of announcements to make. We are meeting. We had our final Bible study of the season this morning at 9:15. And we will continue to have worship services. God gives us ability to continue in it. Are there any announcements that need to be made? Seeing none, our service continues with the reading of God's holy word. The lesson is written in Isaiah chapter 25. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Here endeth the lesson. The epistle is written in 1 John chapter 3. St. John writes, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Here ended the epistle. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one accord began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Verses 16 and 17 of our gospel lesson. It said, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many," that is, he invited many people, "and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about God's preparation and bringing to pass the kingdom of God, everlasting life, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal salvation. And he speaks of it as a great supper, because he himself is sitting at a supper table at a big dinner that was given by his opponents, who were watching him to see if they could catch him slipping up at something. So he describes the kingdom of God as a great supper to which many are invited. Now the supper is great for a number of reasons. Number one, because of who prepared the supper. God, all right? This is God's work and God's gift, and therefore it is great, surpassingly great. It is also great because of what is served at this supper. In the kingdom of God, that which is given to those who come is the full forgiveness of all their sins, acceptance with God in fellowship, table fellowship, all the grace and gifts of God that are given to us in the gospel and in the sacraments. Jesus Christ himself, who comes to us and gives us eternal life. And that's what makes it a great supper. because of the greatness of what is served at this supper. The supper is also great because of its utter uniqueness. What you receive in the kingdom of Christ, you can get nowhere else. No other human institution, no philosophy, no outlook on life can give you the things which Jesus gives you in the kingdom of grace and in the coming kingdom of glory. And so it is indeed a great supper, a supper given by God, a supper which gives eternal salvation in all of its ramifications, and a supper that we can get nowhere else than at the hand of Jesus. When he says in this text, "Come, for all things are now ready," he refers both to the promises of the Old Testament when God sent out the initial invitations, and then to the finished work of Christ. Because Jesus obeyed God's law on our behalf, and because he paid the penalty in his own body for our sins, our eternal salvation is an accomplished fact and reality. Everything that we receive is finished, given, and received in the grace of God. We're not building anything. We're not contributing anything. We are the receivers of the finished work of Christ. And that, my friends, is wonderful news. That God is not calling us to put our best foot forward and to give it the old college try, but rather, the Lord is calling us to receive all the benefits that have been purchased and won for us in Christ. Now in verse 18 to 20, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So here, in this part of our lesson, we learn that most people to whom the invitation comes, most people who hear the preaching of the gospel, most people who are promised the gift of everlasting life, by their own fault, they refuse to receive it. They despise the gospel and they prefer the things of this world. And so, whatever the excuses that people make in their lives, the reasons why they put off the preaching of the gospel, they put up the stop sign in front of the preacher, and they will not have all the bounty of the kingdom of God. They do so by their own fault, and they miss out on the one thing needful that they can receive no place else. Now the servant comes And he reports this to the householder. He reports this to the Lord. It says in, then the servant came and showed his Lord all these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servants. Now let's just stop there for a second. The unbelief of those who will not receive the gospel, it arouses the wrath and displeasure of God. All right? You do not reject the gospel with impunity. Right? The gospel is to be believed. It is to be received. Those who, for whatever excuse, whatever reason, say no to the preaching of the gospel, such people arouse the wrath of God by their persistence in unbelief. At the end of our parable, it says in verse 24, I say unto you that none of those men which were bitten shall taste of my supper. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so it is here. None of those who were bidden shall taste of my supper. Instead of receiving it with faith and being baptized, they pushed it away from themselves, and they will not taste of the Lord so long as they remain in impenitence and unbelief. But the last thing in our text today, so let's just review. Number one, the Great Supper is the gospel. It is the kingdom of God in Christ. It is great because of who gives it. It is great because of what is served, and it is great because of its uniqueness. But most people who hear the gospel despise the gospel, despise Christ, and prefer their own way. This, their excuses, arouse the wrath of God, and none of them will taste the supper of the Lord. And now we come to the last part. The last part today, the kingdom and salvation of God in Christ comes nevertheless. Right? The unbelief of the many does not cancel out the truth of the gospel. And so here, though they despise it, though they will not have it, the gospel comes, and it does its work. It says here in our text that the master said, go out into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Bring in whoever will come in, regardless of their status and their condition. Go out and bring people in. Now, Jesus mentions the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, because those were the people that in his society were considered to be worthless people. Right? They were considered to be worthless. Their condition was obviously a sign of God's displeasure with them. And so, so everyone looked down upon the poor, upon the maimed, upon the halt, and upon the blind. Right? But these are the ones who are invited to come into the supper and to fill the master's house. And they come. And they come as people who never dreamed that they would be a part of such a wonderful thing in their lives. They come as people who have struck gold. They have come as people who can't believe how fortunate they are to be in a situation where they get to enjoy something they never thought they would enjoy in their lives. You see, and that's the nature of Christian faith. Christian faith receives the gift and rejoices in the gift and is thankful to be included by the grace of God. So the master, the servant comes in and he says to the master, "It is done as you said, and yet there's still room. There's more room." And the master says, "Go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in. Earnestly urge people from every walk of life, from all over the world, from hither and yon. Compel them to come in. Urge them strenuously. Preach the law in all of its fullness and preach the gospel in all of its sweetness. Compel them to come in, and that my house may be filled." Listen, the kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ. The gospel is God's invitation to everyone to come and to benefit from this wonderful reality. Many people despise it and refuse it. But thanks be to God, the gospel is still the gospel nevertheless, and we get to rejoice in the fact that it has come even to us. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Choose that good part that shall not be taken away from us, and give all diligence to make our calling and election sure. We pray these things
in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing our communion. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Thank you.
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for thy sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of thy sins. May it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of thy sins. May it strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for thy sins. May it strengthen and preserve thee in the true faith of life everlasting. Take and eat is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for thy sins. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for the remission of thy sins. demonstrate the true faith of salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.